stand all alone.
Yeah, so you can't remember what the uniform was. No, beyond the felt hat and the boater. Yeah. Is there anything else about the school you can remember then?
Strangely enough, I told you about the Uncle Arthur that eventually married my mother. Well, he had two daughters by his first wife. And one of those, May, she had a daughter, Judy, same, and she went to the collegiate the same year as my Judy did, our Judy. And the mother, May, she was quite a good tennis player in a younger day, and I know she played played tennis against parents versus teachers, and I know she was in that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know they've got anything special to say.
Yeah.
I presume they played hockey.
What age did your daughter leave?
16.
At 16. Mm.
Yeah. She's the one that's in Holland. There are her two daughters up there. So.
About pleasure.
Mm. Well, you made your own pleasures. There was no television and videos and all these mechanical things to play with nowadays. Nothing of that whatsoever. Another thing we used to play in the street was whip and top.
Yeah.
Used to play whip and top all along Mare Road from one end to the other. There's no traffic.
No traffic at all?
No. Because we'd stand in the middle of the road and whack the thing and run it after it. And bowling hoops, you know, the hoops we used to run. All along Mare Road. There couldn't have been much traffic.
Mm.
Whether it was an odd bicycle came along, I don't know. Mm.
Was Mere Road then the cobbles that part of it still is?
No, I don't remember it ever being cobbled. Where is it cobbled now?
Some of the bits by the park entrances, there are cobbles that are under the tarmac.
Oh, just in the way to the gate, yeah, front of the gate, yeah, but the road itself wasn't cobbled.
It wasn't.
No, the side streets were. Donington Street was cobbled.
Was it?
Oh, yes, I remember Donington Street being cobbled. And Fairfield's, not Fairfield, Dyesworth, Donington. Yes, they were cobbled.
Hmm.
I think they all were. They went down, I think they were all cobbled. Donington Street, definitely, because that's the one I used to walk down to go to school that way.
Hmm.
That was cobbled. And the other side, Dronfield Street, was cobbled. Yes, it was.
Yeah. And you said there was no traffic on the road.
No.
No. Deliveries like your coal and milk, do they come by horse and cart then?
Horse and cart, yes.
Yeah.
We had the milk from a dairy in Burner Street, Cleavers.
Do you... have you heard of Newby's Dairy?
No.
There was one in Highfields called... it was Mrs. Newby.
No.
But we don't know where it worked, she operated from. We've actually got a picture.
There were flowers along Mare Road. Flowers.
Flowers?
Flowers. The dairy along Mare Road. Oh, Flowers of Freeman. He was sat on the milk marketing board during the war, Flower did.
Oh, right.
On the far side of St Peter's Road, that section of Mare Road.
I know, yeah.
When we had our milk from Cleavers in Burner Street, and the young fellow that it was quite a float, and he used to pick me up on Saturday mornings and take me round with him.
Did he?
Yeah, lovely. He was quite high up on the back of these things, and when he finished his round, the horse was trotting back down Melbourne Road. Yeah, lovely.
Yeah. And was this milk in bottles, or...?
No, it was put into a jug, and you had a sort of a lace netting thing you put over the top of the jug, keep the flies out.
So people came out with a jug to buy their milk?
Oh, yes.
And it was ladled?
Yes, oh, yes, definitely.
Out of churns?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
You got any idea how much it cost? Can you remember?
No idea.
Where was a horse kept? Do you know?
I reckon I reckon there must have been a stable off of Burner Street. It was a part of Burner Street. Around alongside St Helena's Church, wasn't it? In that section, opposite St Helena's Church. That part of Burner Street somewhere there. I reckon there was a bit of a gateway at Easton. Because there'd be nowhere around there stabling anymore, I don't think so. You know that sort of thing you don't think when you're a child and things like that.
Mm-hmm. So when you bought coal, your coal was delivered by
Well. Even after I was married and I lived in Hartington Road.
Even after you were married?
Yeah.
Even to the 50s then?
Yeah. If it was a bad winter and the roads were icy, the coal man couldn't stop on the hill there.
How did you deliver then?
You didn't get any.
You didn't get any coal? So you had to order plenty in advance?
Well, yes. Oh, yeah. Buy a ton at a time, you see.
Yeah. Where did you store it?
In the coal house.
At the back?
Yes.
And you had to bucket it in? Yes.
Yes. And half a day chopping it up.
Because it was big lumps?
Big, oh, really big lumps,
yes. Oh, right.
So it had to be stacked properly to get it all in, you see. Yeah.
Yeah. And was this the same on Mere Road? You had a coal house at the back?
Had a coal, yes. Oh, yes.
Did you have a back entry? Or did he have to come through the house?
Yeah, back entry on the Mere Road house. Or, of course, when we did it Hartington Road, as I said, it went right through to Vulcan Road, so you deliver coal from the Vulcan Road just up the yard. Yes, well, there was an entry on the Mere Road because next door, 168, there were school teachers. It was quite a posh area. School teachers were somebody to be respected in those days, like. I want to say like doctors, I don't know whether doctors are respected nowadays like they used to be. Because I was a naughty boy, I used to have an awful temper. And my mother wanted me to do something, I can't remember what it was now. And I would play it up, kicking my feet and screaming at the bottom of the engine. This lady next door, Mrs. Bowman, the teacher, she came out, wishing to give me a lecture.
Can you remember, did you have sort of groceries delivered as well?
Oh, yes, yes. Now, body kits. Now, where were they? They were somewhere off the East Park Road. You see, when my mother and father had the tailor's shop, lies still in today, nowadays, there's more traders. They all work in one with the other, which is fair enough, you know. Trading with one another, and that's how Bodycutts came to deliver. Yes, he used to come round one day and take the order, and then a couple of days later they bring the stuff. Yeah, yes, it's quite a regular thing that was.
Did he have a horse and cart, or did he come on a bicycle?
I think he came on a bicycle. Don't remember a horse and cart. Mm.
Do you remember his shop, what the shop was like?
No, I don't. I reckon it was... There's a Nottingham Road, isn't there? Runs off East Park Road, somewhere opposite where the old Imperial typewriters used. It was a street in that area where he came from. But I couldn't tell you. I don't know whether I've ever been to the shop, because you see, everything was done, they came to us.
Did you have pocket money?
I had a penny from my mother. And my aunt that lived in Wellington Street, I used to do my shopping for Sunday mornings, and I got tuppence. That was my pocket money.
So, where did you shop for your aunt then, when you went shopping?
Oh, there were some shops in Dromfield Street. There were Stairs, the greengrocers. There was Timpson's, the paper shop. There was Mrs. Weston, the chemist shop. There was Cross-Eyed, and she thought she was looking... Somebody next to you, she's looking at you, and was disconcerting it was. And there was a sweet shop on the corner, Winterband, I think their name was. There were pork butchers just inside Donington Street. I think they were the name of the shops, really, quite yeah. local shops.
Yeah.
The nearest co-op, I would say, was Condon Street.
Was where, sorry?
Condon Street. Conduit.
Oh, Conduit, right, yeah.
They all say Condon Street.
Yeah. That's quite away from Mere Road, though.
I know it is, yeah.
Yeah.
There was one in Chandler Street, co-op.
Mm.
Because of my pal that lived in Bonsall Street, he used to go to Chandler Street for his mother's groceries. But I don't think from where we lived on the Mere Road there's been much in it, really. You didn't think a lot about walking to places, you see.
No. What did you spend your pocket money on?
But, that's all I had. There's a sweet shop in the corner of Earl House Street. That's where I used to get my sweets from.
Yeah.
Gobstopper for a
year. Yeah.
Dan, what was their name? It was Dan. Oh, the post office, on the Mere Road post office. Is that still there? Post office on the Mere Road there?
I don't think so.
No, I don't know where that's. Well, they used to get a pension from there. That would lie just beyond Bonsall Street, I think it was. I don't think it was between Clark Street and Bonsall Street. I think it was just beyond Bonsall Street, the post office.
Your mother must have found it very difficult during the Depression and
yes,
afterwards when you were growing up.
She must have done. Because she used to make me clothes.
Did she?
I mean, she was a tailor.
Oh, well, of course, yeah.
Mind you, some of the things I had cut down, oh, no, I wasn't too happy about some of them, even though I'm not very close conscious. But, and my aunt that lived in Worthing Street, her husband was a presser at Aunt Mimi's. And he could make suits, you see. So my suits were made by him and my mother combined. He used to do the pressing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. In those days, I didn't really buy class shirts, I suppose. I don't know, they might have been made. We had grey shirts in those days.
Mm-hmm.
No fancy patterns, are there?
No. Can we just come to the fact that you're a Freeman of Leicester now, will you tell me how you come by this honour?
Well, it's handed down, you see, from father to son, and it's got to be on the male side, unfortunately.
Yeah.
One or two criticisms and requests my lady, you know, they've been daughters of Freeman, but it's down to Parliament, you see. That's,
yeah.
My two sons are freemen. The younger son that lives up to Obi, his son will be 18 at the tail end of this year, and he's going to become a freeman. It was 21, you see, when I took it up, but it has been brought down to 18. And it was 1978, I think, they altered the act so that it was eligible for a freeman living in the county would be entitled to either to a pension or to a bungalow. Pay a small pension to some people, but it's not much, it's about £4 a week, and you've got to be pretty well destitute to get in. Actually, in 2 years' time, it's the 800th anniversary of the first freeman. Goes back to 1100 and something.
That's so. Are there any duties attached to it?
Well, there used to be. I mean, the freemen originally did what the city council do nowadays, and they had to do policing, and then it was really to control trade. Freemen were the only people allowed to trade within the city walls, and that's really how it all came about. This is going back to when, after the Norman Conquest, and you were apprenticed to a freeman, and then after you'd done your time, you became a freeman, and you could set up your own business or what have you, you see. I think they were called journeymen in between, didn't they? But that's how it all started. And, well, I'll give you something you can take and read about the freeman before you go. It became, especially during up to 1840-odd, freemen were the only people that were allowed to vote for Parliament. And there was a lot of fiddling going off. I'll give you so-and-so if you vote for me, sort of thing. And I don't know whether you've heard of the rotten boroughs. Well, that was really the freemen, to be quite honest, with the rotten lot.
Mm.
And it was 1843, I think, around about that time, when they formed the city council, you know, to take over the duties of running the cities. Because the old Freeman's Common, we owned all that land, you know, the Aston Rice. Well, we were able to buy this land and all these bungalows. We're selling that. And the freemen are allowed to graze cattle. Because it's all on the Aston Road end of things, where the electricity place is now. Mm. That was all freeman land originally. It's gradually been sold off. And it was in 1922 that we became tied up with the charity commissioners, and now any money spent has to be done with consent of the charity commissioners. And the only advantage is one gets, really, you say, there is a small pension paid to some, and there's a woman open. Yet people don't want them now. We've got one empty, been empty for months.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I became active on the, as a freeman many years ago now, and at one time, when these were first built, I was chairman of the bungalows committee. No, I had a long waiting list of people. We used to take them in order of age, actually. And so it was in 1970-odd when we went with the charity commission sorting out some press regulations. It was made to the most needy. Because we had one lady down there, she was rolling in money. She employed her own solicitor and all that sort of thing, you see. But by law, she was the oldest applicant who was entitled to it, which is wrong, you see.
Mm.
And of course, the same most needy nowadays, it's very difficult because there's not many people are really needy now. But on the other hand, if I still lived in my own house in Collingham Road and had to pay rent and rates and all this sort of thing, I shouldn't be able to live as comfortably as I do now. I shouldn't be scratching around because I only get my ordinary pension.
Yeah,
and of course, when I did sell my house, it's that money that's bringing me the interest which I'm living on. But when I read in the paper they're talking about the interest rates going up again, I'm quite pleased. Right. So I suppose from that point of view, you can say you're needy, aren't you? There's one of the men that came to talk to us from the charity commissioners. He used to say the poor and the needy. Liverpool, I think it was.
Right. And now, Mr. Tolton, for a final question, we're asking everybody the same. And the final question is, how does Highfields as it is today compare with your memories of the area?
Well, I don't really know the Highfields a lot from a personal point of view now, but from what I see in the paper and read and hear, it was much better in my day than it is now. You're safer to go out, you could do things. I mean, because of the very fact that there wasn't the traffic, it made things more peaceful and, I won't say countrified, but it was, you know, wasn't as high of activity like it is. And certainly Mere Road, Arfield Street, Saxby Street, they were quite select areas. You were coming up in the world if you lived there. Which I'm afraid you can't say nowadays, really. It's a pity, really, because there's some lovely houses up there, big houses. But I don't know. Our artists in those days better than we do now.
Okay, thank you very much.
I don't say much more.